Patricia! Yay! I am so excited that I'm speaking with you today because you are just this incredible, empowering woman who I absolutely, fell in love with the day I met. We just clicked because you're just incredible, empowering, and smart. And I'm so excited that you're going to speak to my nutrition school students and alum today because I know they're going to learn so much from you. Nutrition school, students, and alum. If you do not know the incredible Patricia Moreno, I'm going to give you a little background, and then I'm going to ask Patricia to share her incredible story with us. So, a little background. Patricia is creator of the Intensati method, which is, I won't even do it justice by explaining it, so I'll let her explain it to you. She is also a mindset coach and author of the 7 Secret Principles to Thinner Peace. And she's also has a leadership program, which you all should check out as well. And you can check it out actually at satilife.com. Definitely check out, so much incredible information there. But I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get right down to business and hear about what we're going to talk about today, which is why diet and exercise does not work, but diet and exercise plus this method does. So it's this we want to know about. So you have an incredible journey, an absolutely incredible journey, which I was so fascinated by the first time, you know, we spoke about it. So can you share that a little bit with our nutrition school peeps?
Of course. I'm super psyched to be here. Thank because you. I love this conversation and I love what you're doing. And I love how you're bringing this, the mindset part and the other piece between diet and exercise that I think really, really matters and is far too often forgotten. So congratulations to everything you're doing, which I think is amazing and excited and privileged to be a part of, really. Because I think this is so important and valuable that we have people educating the world on what it really takes, you know, what it really takes. And so I'll share a little bit about my journey. I grew up in California, Northern California, and with 10 brothers and sisters. I'm number 9 of 11, 8 girls and 3 boys. I know. It's like, can you imagine? I have 3 kids. I can't even imagine. But my mom was somebody who really believed how you looked mattered. Like, her self-worth was wrapped up very tightly in body. And definitely handed that over. But her method was, you know, if you can imagine being pregnant that many times, she was always in going to extremes. And her method was either literally starving. She would do fasts, and she could do like fast for 40 days. And this is not even like a doctor recommended fast. This is like water and soup broths or something like that. Silly things. And or binging. And then she would be a binge eater. She would just eat out of control. And then so she had no way of just really changing. So her method was diet. And that's what I picked up. And I was overweight when I was very young. My first diet was when I was in third grade. Third grade, I was on a diet. My parents put me on a scale. I remember the moment I was 130 pounds. I don't even know what that meant. Like, I just know they gasped when they saw it. And I, you know, that imprinted me like, of course, holy cow, that was major. I mean, I remember to this day going, oh my God, I must weigh more than my teacher. I don't know why I thought that. I must weigh more. And I got fatter and fatter and fatter. And I ballooned up to 220 pounds before I was even 13. And I was on a diet. My mom took me to diet doctors where they would, did you ever hear about this, where they inject cow's urine? Like, they, this was something they were doing at some point. Like, it was supposed to speed up your metabolism. It was so crazy.
I actually have heard of that, but I didn't know anybody that had done it. And I mean, and I can only imagine having your mother taking you to do this, the impact that that must have had on you. I mean, it probably still has some sort of, I mean, you've obviously overcome this, but the, I mean, just the impact into your adulthood and shaping your life and your relationship with food had just got to be huge.
Oh, it was so hard because at that age, you don't have those filters, right? So you're just taking everything in and, right. And I became a secret eater and I would wake up in the middle of the night and binge. And then I started purging, and then I started using diet pills, and then I started using anything. I eventually actually started using crystal meth to, because my mantra was, thin at any cost, like any cost. And I always share this story too, like the foods that I would choose, they had to be zero calorie foods. And then here was my salad dressing. My salad dressing was, I would pour, I can't believe it's not butter, and then get a box of Splenda, not a packet, like the box of Splenda with the pour spout, and I would sprinkle Splenda. I can't believe it's not butter, because it was zero calories.
Oh.
And it wasn't skinny. Like, it didn't even work, because
it doesn't work.
My mindset was food. Like, it was, I had no respect for food. There was no value for food. Everything was calories. And I did the same. I binged, I purged, I dieted, I went off the diet, and my weight fluctuated. I ended up getting down to a weight because I was adding a lot of exercise, but then I started exercising 5-8 hours a day. It was like out of control, because it was never enough, because I didn't know how to change. And I remember when I finally realized that it was my mind that wasn't changing, was because I understood that every time I went to the gym, I was working out and saying, I have to work out because I'm fat. I have to go to the gym because I'm too fat. Or I have to go to the gym because I don't want to be fat. So everything was coming, I am fat, therefore I have to do this. I am fat, therefore I have to do this. So how can a fat person ever be thin, right?
Well, it was all negative energy. It was all negative energy going in. That's what, you know, something we talk so much about. Like, all of our actions need to come from that positive place. Even if you're doing something, let's say eating chocolate cake, and it's an indulgence. I talk about this so much with when I'm talking about eating empowered. It has to come from a place of, I want to indulge in this and enjoy it. And that's when you can eat it in portion control and in a healthy way, versus I'm the worst person in the world eating this, or I can't have it. So you were sort of, and that's just one small example with the food, but you were sort of living this in every, I mean, it sounds like 24 hours a day with everything, exercise, food, everything. Yeah, and I think a lot of people can relate to the things you're saying. I mean, I'm sure there are some people that have done the I can't believe it's not butter and Splenda concoction before, because I am sure, I mean, many people have, I mean, just many people, they might have their own story like that, but many people have lived exactly the way you're talking about. So what happened? What got you out of that cycle?
Oh, so there was a moment, because, you know, I was successful and I was doing well and I was traveling around the world and I was on magazine covers and doing DVDs. Like, I had this successful fitness career. I was like,
yeah. So that's actually important, though. So while you were doing all of this dieting and binging and purging and like the crystal meth even, and all of this, so you were actually a successful fitness guru.
Yeah. Right?
Okay. Right? And that's important. That's an important point here, is that you were actually having a career in this world. So you, even though you'd gained weight to get to 220, but you said by the time you were 13, I think, but then you actually ended up having a career in fitness, but in this terrible cycle. So yeah. So I guess from there, what happened?
Yeah. And you know, I did aerobics competitions where you have to like get down to super thin. I could lose weight. I just couldn't maintain it. Mm-hmm. And so I got a job on TV. I was doing a daily workout show. And of course I got super fit, you know, wearing the short shorts and the bra top to get the job. But then of course, what I knew was going to happened was every day, you know, I started to gain little by little. And I got called into the producer's office, and truly, I mean, exactly. I don't even know what he said, because I was so mortified. But I know he said, what's up? He was sweet, right? But he was like, what's going on? Like, you're gaining weight, which I was in such a panic mode at that point. Mm-hmm. But it was the best thing ever, because first of all, I realized, oh my gosh, this is happening. I'm going to have to turn that off.
No worries.
Let me call you back, okay?
I love this. It's like the real life.
Yeah, real life.
It's like reality. I love it. I love reality. We love everything authentic and real here.
So I realized, one, the gig was up. I just did this on national TV.
Right.
Two, the gig was up because someone just called me out on it. Because at one point you can kind of pretend like it doesn't matter. But I got called out on it. And it was that point that I really realized, okay, I have a choice. Stay small and keep this secret, or come clean and look for the answer. And I thought, there's millions of people like me. There's millions of people like me. I'm going to find the answer. I'm like putting my stake in the ground to take responsibility to find out what's that element that it's not diet and exercise, because I'm doing that better than most people. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can work out 8 hours a day, and not that many people can diet as well as I can diet. So what's missing? And I just went on a journey. I mean, I really invested a year, even more, of just like studying and wondering and living the question, what's missing? Why do some people achieve this kind of long-term success and other people don't? And through so many books and trainings and blah, 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 I came to realize it was the mindset, and that everything, you can't be a fat person and expect to be thin. So how do you change your mind? And that's when I decided, I didn't just decide, I was actually on a beach doing positive affirmations with Anthony Robbins, and he was talking about mindset. And he said at one point, you know, you've got to change your state. And we started doing these affirmations. All I need is within me now. All I need is within me now. And I was like, that's it. That's it. A workout. I'm going to combine my workout expertise. I'm going to add this element of the affirmations, because that's what we need. And it can't be just information. It has to be done on a regular basis. You got to train every day your mind like you train your body. Otherwise, affirmations don't work, and neither does the information, because everybody knows you should be positive. Everybody knows you should say nice things to yourself, or you shouldn't criticize. But how do you do it? But how do you do it? And so I wanted to create the how.
Yeah, exactly, which I think is so incredible, because, I mean, like you said, I mean, it's so, like you said, people know to be positive, right? You know you're supposed to be positive. But how do you go from, you know, going to the gym and working out and maybe even feeling good doing that workout, and then coming home and maybe even having that healthy breakfast, but then, you know, indulging in that, you know, coworkers, whatever, cupcakes that came for their birthday, and then that not, you know, obviously leading into, you know, a tail. How does that not turn into a tailspin? How does that not turn into that negative talk? Oh, I can't believe I wasn't supposed to be eating sugar this week. I said I wasn't going to eat sugar. And like, how do you stop that? How do you how do you train the mind, and how do you incorporate those affirmations to the point that it actually does like change your life, like it changed your life?
Well, what I realized was it's not just the affirmations. It's really the ability to train your mind, to use the affirmations to train your mind that you remember that you are the one that can be the master of what you're thinking, right? That the thoughts are not who you are, but you are the thinker of the thoughts. So when you do the affirmations and you train yourself to be able to take your attention off and you from complaining or criticizing yourself or saying it's going downward spiral, but you go, listen, that thought process is not going to lead me to where I want to go. What thought will? And then you start to understand to just take back your power and be the boss of your mind, to be the boss of your mind. Like I call it the master of your mouth, what goes in and what comes out. You have to be the master of both. And so for me, doing affirmations, like saying, okay, I'm going to start my day with 5 affirmations, doesn't do it, because you didn't activate. You didn't activate the state of gratitude. You didn't necessarily activate self-love. You didn't necessarily activate courage or confidence. You said the words, but until it becomes an emotion, until it became a feeling, it's not, that link is not going to make it powerful enough. So you have to really do something, you know, whether it's something like Intensati, or when you do something in your home and you do your affirmation, you have to do something like a movement. You can't see me very well, but do an exercise that awakens the state of gratitude, and you don't stop until the affirmation has become a feeling, and now you've put yourself in a new state.
Okay, because that's what I was going to ask you. So for people out there that are thinking, okay, so I do my positive affirmations and I'm doing all of these things, but how do I, like what you said, how do I actually activate it? So you're saying you have to combine, it's the movement with the thoughts that then become the feeling. So, because I think that that's really, that connecting all of those things, I think for many people is something that's new. So with, like you said, with your Intensati, so explain how Intensati takes your affirmations and activates them. So like you, again, like you said, you can be the master of your mind. What did you say?
The master of your mouth.
And the boss of your mind, or something else you said there. No, yeah. But I love that. I love that, because it's so true. It's like, you can't just say these things. Like, the creator of your thoughts. Like, you are the creator of your thoughts. Like, you have to remember to do that. So, but I think that next step, because I think people can even understand that more, but then the activating part, I think, is what's really tricky for people. How do you get those thoughts to become, like you said, like feelings in you? So it becomes, so you are really training your mind. So can you tell us a little bit about your technique in Insensati?
Yeah. So, you know, this was something, again, I learned when I was studying with Tony Robbins, and he talks about creating a state. And so that's what I based this workout on.
Okay.
And so what he says is there are three legs: your focus, your physiology, and your language. So what are you focusing on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm fat, or what do you, you're either focusing on what you don't want to be or what you do want to be. What you don't want to have or what you do want to have. Those are very two different ways to look at things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're either focusing on what you hate about your body or what you're growing into or what you're creating or what you're becoming. So it's very important to think from. This is very key. Don't think about who you want to be. Think from who you want to be. So you think, that's how you decide what the affirmation is. I am thin, I am fit, I am sexy, I am healthy, I am energized. So that's the focus. Then you have the language, which is, what are you saying? Are you saying I'm not, or here's another one. You never want to say I will be, because if you ever use I will be, all you're affirming is what you're not. So you always have to use I am. Always. And people go, but I'm not. But you're saying, you have to remember, you're thinking from the end result. So then you have to use physiology. So physiology is next. So if you want to feel courageous or confident, like today I've chosen the word for myself to be confident. And so whenever I start to feel stressed, I'm not going to have enough time. I'm not going to be able to get that done. I'm not going to do it well. I go, confidence, my word today. So I focus on who I want to be. I do the language. I'm confident today that I'm going to get this done. I'm confident it's going to work out. I'm confident I can follow my plan for the day. And then the physiology is, you think about the state that you want to create. What is that? How do you stand in that state? This is not confident. So if you want to feel confident, you've got to throw your shoulders back. You've got to lighten up your face. You've got to breathe deeply. You've got to move with intention and power. So how would you, if you did feel confident, stand, breathe, access, action?
I love this so much. No, this is absolutely incredible. I love that, because I think what you just said, all of this, the focus, the language, and the physiology, like just putting that all together, that actually makes it so actionable and doable for people to take these positive affirmations and incorporate them, like you said, with movement. And I mean, obviously that's why you created Insensati, and that's why it works, and that's why it's so powerful. And I just think so many people out there, again, that still are meditating and are writing down intentions and all of these things, this just takes it to such a different level, that that's why I was so drawn to it, and I'm so empowered by it and by you, is because it's making it so actionable. So my next question, actually, which I had wanted to ask you and actually is perfect to ask you right now, is, so how does someone, like you just said, that makes sense. Like, so think about the language, think about the focus, think about the language, and then the physiology part too also makes perfect sense. But let's say you're somebody that's never done any of this before. Like, where do you even, and you're waking up and you're feeling, I don't know, we could think of any feeling. You're feeling kind of like, oh, I just feel really like bloated today. You know, like if you're in that mode, like what would be your tip to sort of get somebody using this method?
You know, action is always important, right? Action with intention, which is what Insensati is. But you can literally, like, if I don't have time, if you can walk, march in place, like anything, you've got to energize, you've got to mobilize. And when you change your physiology, it already starts to change your mind. You could do any move that you like. It doesn't have to be, you know, I've created a whole vocabulary, but it doesn't have to be that. All you have to do is do any kind of move, pick your affirmation, and dance it into your cells. Like, you've got to, like, embody it. You've got to birth her. You've got to invoke her. You've got to wake her up. She's in there. You've just got to say, come on, I'm bringing you out today. You're the one that's going to be able to handle the stress for me. You're the one that's going to be able to get through this day in a confident way. We got to birth her. We got to bring her out. Just any movement. And you have to do at least 68 seconds is the minimum, like minimum. 68 seconds of a pure thought without interruption with the embodiment is enough to gain momentum, and you'll start attracting more thoughts that are similar. You need 68 seconds, and that's nothing. It's a tiny investment for a very big reward. I'm talking if you've got no time, you're about to go to a meeting, you're about to go to a dinner, you feel like poop. And just are like, I don't want to feel this way. I'm going to change it. 68 seconds, get a song that you love, pick the affirmation. What's the state that you're going to create for that day? And you got to just do it.
I love that. Now, one quick question, because I know many people out here are thinking the same thing. What's the 68 for? Why the 68?
It's just 68 is just something that I learned from studying law of attraction.
Okay.
That once you do 68 seconds, that's enough momentum if the thought is pure. That means not if you're like focused and then you pick up the phone and then you come back. It's got to be a pure focus of enough intention and enough direction that it can give you a shift mentally, that you can start creating those new neural pathways, you know?
Perfect. I love it. This is so incredible. Really just so empowering, so interesting, and really just, it really just combines so many things that, you know, when we at Nutritious Life, when I talk about it, when I talk about it in the nutrition school, you know, I always talk about it's all these different pillars. And we've talked about this before, how I always talk about being consistent with your exercise and eating empowered and living consciously and loving more and all of these things. But what I love about your method, and I think we've discussed this before, is that you really bring that, like, sort of the empowerment part and the living consciously and the loving more into also the movement and the exercise and pull it all together on another level. And it's really why it's so inspiring. And I think it's so incredible for all of our Nutritious Life peeps out there, obviously everybody out there, but all of our nutrition school peeps, but also for them to take and, you know, and be able to educate people further on, which is why actually all of you out there should check out intensati.com. Again, don't forget, because Patricia has an incredible program where she teaches this and she teaches incredible classes. So you have to check it out. I'm so inspired. Again, I feel like I've said this 10 times already, but I am so inspired by you and this method, and it's incredible what you've created and how you're teaching people to feel not only change their life with diet and exercise, but change, obviously, you know, we always talk about just how you feel and how, like, about yourself. And we know that how you feel about yourself affects everything else, which then again affects everything else. It's like that big Nutritious Life cycle. So you are such a key part in helping someone do that. It's just really amazing. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And do you have any last tips you'd want to share with our Nutritious Life, our nutrition school students?
I think that, you know, just based on what you said, it takes consistency.
Yeah.
And I love the quote, like, if you're interested, you'll do what's easy, but if you're invested, you'll do whatever it takes. And I think that having the mindset and talking about mindset is a key element. And I'm grateful that there are more people like you and your students bringing this element in, because it's really necessary.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Patricia. Mwah. Lots of love to you. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye.